Type in a search for Dan Patch at Minipedia.org and you'll find this 1972 video along with in-depth articles, a chronology of quick facts, web links, and photographs. The Digital Encyclopedia makes it easy for History Day students in Bemidji and sports writers in London to access resources at the Minnesota Historical Society in St. Paul. Molly Huber is the editor and project manager.
Where we can, we do connect to things that are available digitally. We don't go to a lot of, say, blogs or that types of website, but things like old Minneapolis Tribunes that have been digitized, you can get directly to the article. Or if something's on the National Register, we try and get that listing, or a Minnesota History article that's digital, so you can actually go and visit the resource if you want to learn more.
Because the entries in Minipedia are written by subject experts, scholars, and historians, the site has earned the stamp of approval from Minnesota teachers.
Then once they've created an entry, then it goes through the editorial process here. So it's edited. Every entry is fact-checked because we want to make sure that everything we're putting out there is really reliable. It's vetted. It's checked. It's not something that people then can come and change. We do, as I said, have a comments section so you can engage with the resource and talk about it. And if you know something we don't, well, then the great part about being digital is if people send us corrections or comments, we can research and add and change. It's not like a print publication where it's fixed once it's done.
Historical societies and community groups can apply for grant funds to create new content. Here's Jim Oakley, the web project manager at the Minnesota Historical Society.
So through partnerships like MinPost, the news organization, they're curating, they're pulling articles out of our existing resource and republishing them in the MinPost context. And so that's driving people back to our resource. And they're also writing Minnesota history-based articles that will eventually find their way into Minipedia. So it's not as open and porous as Wikipedia, as I keep saying, but there are some interesting ways in which content can kind of flow in and out of Minipedia.
To ensure the subjects covered are varied and balanced, the staff works off a grid, plotting entries within 6 main categories and 19 topics.
We haven't done some of the greatest hits, you know, or James J. Hill. We haven't written about him yet because there's a lot about James J. Hill. You know, we're trying to get to some of those other people that maybe haven't been as covered, or events or things. Like Wealthy Apple's great because there wasn't a lot of information about it.
The entry for the Wealthy Apple became the staff favorite after it was linked to articles and blogs across the globe.
And the Wealthy Apple is the first apple that could grow in that could survive Minnesota winters. And it's the forerunner of many popular varieties, such as the Harrelson and even the Honeycrisp. So when I wrote about it and got into Minipedia, then it came up, I mean, it started coming up like the top Google search. People like, well, what is this apple? And I mean, it was linked to, and Wikipedia took it and put it in. I feel like that was a great success story of something that was actually really significant that no one really knew about.
After 2 short years, Minipedia received national attention again when it was recognized for outstanding achievement in museum media by the American Association of Museums. Here's Jim Oakley.
Granted, it was only the Bronze Award, or as the plaque says, the Bronze Award, because they made a typo, which we thought was great for an encyclopedia to have a typo on your piece of plastic. So we got the Bronze Muse Award from AAM, which was one of our proudest moments so far.
I'm Susan Gray for KFAI Community Radio.
"10,000 Fresh Voices" on KFAI is made possible by listeners like you and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.